This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
You are great and mighty God. Let's now go to our scripture for today. Again, it's the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27 through verse 31. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, and Deliverer, we ask right now that you speak to us, we, your servants. Speak, God, that we, your servants, might hear, but not just hear, that we might be followers of your word to do your will, your way. Thank you for this brand new day you've given unto us. Thank you for a brand new opportunity to live for you in this year of action. So guide us now, protect us now. And God, we're praying that everyone who's tuned in will hear your word on today. Even if that may not have been our intent, let us hear from you. Touch our hearts and our minds, and you may get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject for today is prepare for action. That's right, say it with me. Prepare for action. We want to tell everybody it's time to prepare for action. This is the year of action. It's time to put into action what we have heard, what we have learned, what we've been talking about, what we've learned down through the years. It is time to put it into action. And I know we will agree. I think you all would agree. Everybody who say would agree with me that we ought do what the Lord say do. Those have been the message we've been talking about. Not just hearers of the word, but followers of the word also. And I'm sure we also would agree that what we are told to do in God's word, that we believe what we believe that we ought do, we are not quite there yet. Even if Jesus said it, we find ourselves that we're not quite where the Lord wants us to be. Well, listen, I've been telling you, this is a year of action. Even though you may feel you're not quite there yet, we can be there because God has so prepared us to do the work he's called us to do. And it's time out for any excuses. It's time out for not doing what God has called us to do. So yes, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready, I say. But we have to be prepared. Can't just say we're ready. We have to prepare ourselves to get ready. The text that we had is one of those sayings that Jesus told us. Those are the words of Jesus. But yet, I'll admit, we might not quite be there, but yet we need to get there. We need to ask God to move in us in a special way so we can get to where he wants us to get. There must be preparation in order to effectively act the way God would have us to act and to do the things God wants us to do. So seeing that we really want to prepare for action, seeing that we really want to do the work God has called us to do, let's look at some steps that we need to take that move us closer to obeying God and becoming the people of action instead of inaction. What is it that we should do? First thing we should do is that we should pledge and commit to act. That's right, we should pledge and commit to act. In other words, make up your mind that you truly desire to act and do what the Lord has called you to do. In other words, we have to decide within ourselves that the act and the actions that God wants us to do, we're willing to do it. In other words, if you make up your mind to enlist in the Army, the Navy, or the Marines, if you say, this is what I want to do, then the first step is you got to enlist. You have to be called. You have to go and get enlisted. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I've already signed up for the Army of the Lord. Well, I'm just talking to everybody now. This is the time to do what we do for every communion. As Paul teaches us, it says, let a person, let a man, let a woman examine himself, herself. We need to examine ourselves. So today we're examining. First of all, have you truly made a pledge? Have you truly committed your life to Christ? Have you signed up? Have you said, sign me up for the Christian Jubilee? Write my name on the wall. Have you said, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Take time to pause right there, because you know, you might have just walked down the aisles and gave the preacher your hand and decided to get baptized. But did you ever say to the Lord, God, I've sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. Did you commit? Did you pledge and commit yourself to Christ? Did you do step number one? So you can't get out there doing the action and doing everything else you want to do for the building of God's kingdom. You can't strive for excellence and kingdom building and you're not a part of his kingdom. So let's take time, first of all, to pledge and commit. Pledge and commit to act. Commit to him who's the author and finisher of our faith. Pledge him your entire loyalty. Let him not only be our Savior, let him be our Lord and Savior. Oh yes, Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the grave. Yes, he saved us. But he also becomes our Lord. He's Lord of our life. I heard one author put it this way. He said, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. We truly want him to be Lord of our life. We truly want him to be the one who keeps and sustains. We really want to get everything God has for us to get, but we need to give God everything we can give. And we need to make sure that we pledge our total commitment, pledge our minds, our hearts, give God all of us, give God all of you. Make that pledge and commitment. That's step number one. If you can make your commitment to God, if you can pledge and commit to God honestly, openly, we can be a people of action, but we have to be a people of commitment. We can be a people that will transform our communities, but we have to be a people of commitment who decided that we will pledge and commit our total loyalty to Christ. We may not do it perfectly. We may not get it all right, but we at least have to start by having a desire to get it right, a desire to let God be number one in our lives, numero uno. Is he first? Is he first? Is he first? Is he first? Or is he just someplace in your life? We have to pledge and commit in preparation to act. Secondly, we must now position and condition ourselves to be able to do what God wants us to do. Oh yeah, we have to position and condition ourselves. Yes, yes, you made that commitment. You made that pledge and commitment. Yes, I want to be on the Lord's side. Yes, I want to be in the Army. I want to be in the Navy. I want to be in the Marines. Yes, I've done that. But even after you decide that you want to be in the Army, after you decide you want to be in the Navy or the Marines, then you go to boot camp. You get your instructions. You get told what to do and how to do it. Yes, someone is to tell you where to go. Someone is to tell you and train you in what you ought to do and how you ought to do it. Well, the same thing when we committed ourselves to Christ, when we made that pledge, we made that commitment to Christ, now we need to position and condition ourselves. Have you seen all the conditioning that those in the armed services do? You see the push-ups they do? Do you see the running that they do? You see the training that they're doing to be fit, to be able to be in the armed services of the United States of America? They're some of the most fit people you'll find anywhere. Well, the same ought to be with us. when we've come and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we now positioning ourselves, now we need to be conditioned to do the work God has called us to do for such a time as this. And I know you're saying, well, Pastor, what do I have to do? How many laps do I have to run? Yeah, how many pull-ups do I have to do? How many push-ups do I have to do? What all do I have to do in order to do it? I'm glad you asked, because we can condition ourselves to do what the Lord would have us to do. You put yourself in a position by making a commitment, but now that you're in a position, we now have to get in condition. Woo! Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Let's get in condition to do what the Lord would have us do. Well, Pastor, how do we get in condition? Well, in order to get for the soldiers get what they're gonna get, they have to get their instructions. And the same thing for us. We have to get our instructions on what the Lord would have us to do. And the best place to get your instructions from, and for me to get my instructions from, even as it comes to the Word of God, we need to get it from talking to the Master himself. That means we need to pray. That's all, we need to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5, beginning of verse 5, tells us what it is we need to do. I'm so grateful. We could see it right here. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 5. Listen to what Jesus tells us about talking to him, about talking to God. Listen to what he tells us to do. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen of others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, somebody say, you pray. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Understand what he's saying to us. God knows what we need, but he wants us to let him know that we know, and we have sense enough to know that we need to go to him to supply all of our needs. That don't get ahead of God. Yeah, Jesus said we ought always pray, and we ought always be in a position where if we're going to do the work God has called us to do in preparation, after we commit, after we do our best to commit ourselves to him, then we position and condition ourselves. We don't just go and just start praying just for praying's sake. We don't pray just because it's the time to pray. We don't pray just because there's some food in front of us. No, we condition ourselves and our minds and our hearts to pray in such a way, to know that we are in God's presence, to know that God is listening to us, to know that God wants to talk to us, to know that we're in a state where we can have a talk with the Lord. Understand, we condition ourselves for that. Shut other things out. Put yourself in a place and a space where you can have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. Listen, what I'm saying to us is take time to consciously and honestly talk to the one who's yearning to talk to you. Isn't it just ironic that many times we don't want to talk to God until things get so terrible, things get so bad, our situations are so messed up, and we can't turn any place but up. We can't turn to anybody but God. Do you recognize that even in the midst of everything you're going through, God will be there, he will hear and answer prayer? But even if you're not going through everything, even if the storm cloud does not, even if the storm cloud has passed over, even if your situation in life is not so terrible, God still wants to hear from you. And that's a great time to talk to him and let him know that we need our instructions from him, that we need our marching orders from him, that we need to know what it is he has us to do and how he'll have us to do it, that we need his strength. We need everything that comes from a relationship with him. Yes, we need to position and condition ourselves to do the work God has called us to do. Well, why do we have to do that? Because God has given us the power to get it done. You've heard me say this over and over again from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Over and over again. And now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I know that's King James. But he was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How can we do exceedingly, abundantly, above? He can do exceedingly, above all that we ask or think. But it says, comma. We can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, comma, according to the power that works in us. God is telling us in his word that we have the power to do what he does. We have the power to transform our communities. But how do we use that power? How do we get that power? Well, first, we get it because we have to pledge and commit. And after we pledge and commit, we have to position and condition ourselves to be in a position to do the work God has called us to do. I hope you hear me this morning. Oh, yes, we got to position and condition ourselves to be exactly where the Lord would have us to be, to do exactly what the Lord would have us do. When I say get yourself in a place and a space where you can have a little talk with Jesus, I'm not just talking about a physical place, but you have to put yourself in a mental place. You have to put yourself in a relational place. You have to put yourself in a place where it's you and the Lord, where you can set out everything else and talk with him. Yes, talk with him. Yes. But after committing and being positioned, lastly, we have to pray and concentrate. Yes, yes. I've said already, we got to pledge and commit. We got to position and condition. But we also have to pray and concentrate. In other words, we got to talk to God and listen to God. We got to talk to him. In other words, we position ourselves that where we're ready and we're conditioned to do what God would have us do. We're ready to get on the battlefield. We're ready to go do what we got to do. But you can't go anywhere till you get your instructions, and your instructions are clear, and you know what you're doing. And you get your instructions clear by reading God's word, understanding his word, but by praying and talking to the commander. Talk to the one who's sending you out. Take time to pray. And I don't mean just pray and pray. I mean concentrate when you pray. I mean concentrate in such a way. You're praying and you're concentrating so much that you get consecrated to do what God would have you to do. Talk to God. Matter of fact, I can't tell you better than the Lord says himself in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Listen what Jesus says. He tells us that we ought to pray. He tells us how we ought to pray. He tells us how to condition ourselves for prayer. Then he turns around and tells us this in Matthew 6, verse 9. He says, pray then like this. Woo! And when Jesus tells you something, you ought to listen. He says, pray then like this. What do you say? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, he's telling us how to pray. And the first thing he's telling us is to know and take time to reflect on who you're praying to. Take time to recognize he's God all by himself. Take time to recognize our Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer of life. Don't be too fast and don't be too busy that you can't take time to call his name. Yes, joy comes when you call his name. Peace comes when you call his name. Take time to call his name when you pray. One song says, when you pray, you ought to call his name. But let me say this to you. He tells us, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Take time to know that God's name is reverent. Take time to know that God's name is holy. Take time to acknowledge that you know that he's God all by himself. Take time to pray that you want what God wants to happen in your life. Yeah, take time to know that when you want what God wants, you'll get what you want. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're saying, God, whatever's going on, whatever you want to go on, I want to go on. When you're positioning and conditioning yourself, you're getting yourself just right so God can get glory, so God can give you power to do all the things that he needs us to do. And then he says, now you have a time for asking for provisions. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I thank God right there that even in the example, he tells us to ask for our daily bread. If you had said, Lord, give me my bread, you are asking for it one time and never have to say it to him again. But he said, give us our daily bread. Let you know we ought to talk to him every day. Because whatever you're asking him for today, he can bless you with it today, but you ought to have something else. And whatever you're asking him for, you ought to be asking him for it so you can do his will. The reason we need daily bread is so we can have daily strength. The reason we need daily bread is so we can have daily power to do what the Lord would have us do. Have you heard me yet? Have you positioned and conditioned yourself yet? And put yourself in a position when you can pray and pray and pray and pray and talk to God. Notice what he says. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me for what I have done. In other words, I'm confessing that I haven't been all I should be. I'm confessing that I haven't done everything I ought to do. I'm confessing that I've made you upset because I haven't lived like I really ought to live. So Father, forgive me for all the mess I've done. Forgive me for all the stuff I've done. And the word of God is clear. It says he will forgive us of all our sin and all of our unrighteousness. But it doesn't stop right there. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. My. Listen to what I'm saying. When you're praying and you're concentrating upon God's will getting done, we can hear what God's will is even as we pray. It's his will that we should be one. It's his will that none should be lost. It's his will that we'll come together. So as we pray, and he gives us an example of how to pray. We want to pray, Lord, forgive me for my mess. Forgive me for what I've done. But Lord, even as you forgive me, I want you to forgive me in the same way that I'm willing to forgive others. Forgive me in the same way that I forgive others. Forgive me in the same way that I'm not walking around being mad and upset and talking about folk for things they've done to me. Because God, we don't need you upset walking around heaven talking about the things we've done to you. God, teach us, use us in a special way. And then notice, when we see this in this text, in the Matthew text, it stops right there. Yes, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, if we forgive him for our debts, we say, Lord, lead me in a way that I'll be able to live for you. That's a part of the conditioning. Lord, get me out of the stuff I've been doing the way I've been doing it. Let me do things your way. Don't let me be tempted to cuss them out. Let me be tempted to do the work you want me to do. Don't let temptation come. Don't let Satan take over. Let your word reign in me. Let your love guide me and direct me, because I need to be conditioned. I need to pray in such a way. And I'm praying and concentrating. Well, what do you mean by praying and concentrating? I'm glad you asked me. Because we said, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Now we are so positioned, now we are so conditioned, so we can start doing the work God has called us to do. Well, Pastor, how is that going to help me do what I need to do? I'm glad you asked. Because not only are you're praying and you're concentrating. You're praying and you're concentrating on the word of God. You're praying and you're concentrating on what God would have you to do and how he would have you to do it. And something starts stirring on the inside. When you begin to believe, I can do what the Lord said I can do. He's empowered me to walk like he wants me to walk. He's empowered me to talk like he wants me to talk. He's empowered me to live like he wants me to live. I can feel his presence in my life. But what? Notice a part of that. In this prayer, it tells us to do what we can do, and God will do what he can do. And God is speaking to us. Every time we speak to him, you need to take time to listen to God speaking to you. It's not a one-way conversation. No, it is communication. You're talking to God, and God wants to talk to you because you're in a place where you ought to be. You're in a place where you can hear from God. And just in case we weren't hearing it right, even in the model prayer, Jesus gave us some clarification on how we can all be one. Look at his clarification when he finished the Lord's Prayer. This prayer of example. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the end of that prayer. But the next verse says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. He gave us commentary after the prayer to say, I need you not just to pray, I need you to listen. But if you're going to pray and you listen, now you prepare yourself for action. Now you prepare to do the work I called you to do. Now you prepare to transform our community. Now you prepare to transform your home. Now you prepare to transform this city. Now you prepare to transform this county. Now you prepare to transform this state. Now you prepare to transform this nation and to transform this world, because Christ lives in us. Oh yes, how did he live in us? I'm glad you asked. He came through 40 and two generations, came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, people talked about him and ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. Can you see our Lord and Savior taking on all the abuse of this world because he knew he had to be an example for you and for me? Can you see our Lord and Savior as they marched him up Golgotha's hill after he assembled with the disciples in the upper room, after they have arrested him and took him from judgment hall to judgment hall? Can you see our Lord and Savior as he's gone up the road and now they're in a place where they've already put a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see our Lord and Savior who's done no sin but now ready to take on all of your sins and all of my sins? Can you see him when they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and he's laying there right there on the ground with the crown of thorns even on his head? He's laying on the ground with nails in his hands, nails in his feet. But he told them, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And they lifted him high. They stretched him wide. Our Lord and Savior was hanging on the cross for all of your sins and all of my sins. Can you see the blood running from his veins, running from all over his body, not just his hands and his feet, not just from his head, but when they whipped him all night long? Can you see the blood of Jesus as we celebrate today in this communion? You can see the blood of Jesus running for you and for me. The word of God lets us know that he was on the cross for you and for me, for all of my sins, all of our sins. The Bible says he died. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He died. He died. I tell you, he died. But guess what? The story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday night. But look at what happened. It was early. I said early on that Sunday morning. He got up from the grave. Got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. But that's still not the end. Look what our Lord did. He told us and commissioned us to go into all the world. Then he ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who guides us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to do the work God has called us to do. We're now prepared to act. We're prepared to do what the Lord said do. We're prepared to follow his word. We're prepared to give him glory. You ought to tell the Lord, thank you for preparing me. Thank you for getting me ready. Now I'm ready. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promise him that I will serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Are you on the battlefield? Are you ready to do the work God has called you to do? It's time. We're prepared. We're prepared to go to battle for the Lord. It's the Lord that would have us to do everything he have us to do. We just got to tell him, thank you. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, yes, if you're listening today and you're saying, I want to join. I want to be a part of that number. I want to be saved. Listen, my brother, listen, my sister, you can do it right now. It's just acknowledging. And you know that God loves you so much that Jesus died for all of your sins. He died for all of our sins. Don't feel like we're pointing you out or pushing on you, because we all have sinned and come short. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's his gift he gives for us today. Won't you come to Christ today? I'll pray a prayer now. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, just pray this prayer with me. The Bible says that in Romans 10 and 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you want to be saved, just pray this prayer with me right now, and you can have the Lord. I can't pray it for you. I can lead you in it, but these have to be words you believe and what you want to happen in your life. So if you want the Lord in your life, please repeat these words after me. Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, saints, let's celebrate with all of those who've accepted Christ right now on this day. Come on, let's come on, let's shout, let's thank God for them. Yes, let's praise God for every saint now, every person that's come now to become a saint of the Most High God. Those who are on today, making that commitment. Those who are on today, who are pledging and committing, who are positioning and conditioning, who's praying and concentrating that God might get the glory. Let's thank God for them. I want you to realize that even during this time, as they're still coming forward, as they're responding to the message at the bottom of the screen, as they're responding to that, others, let's take time to give. Let's not forget to give. We give through Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. God will bless, guide, and keep us. As we move into the time for our communion, as we prepare to read our church covenant, let us also prepare for communion. If you need to get your supplies for communion, this would be a good time to get it. Then we'll read together our church covenant. That's a promise made between ourselves, the congregation, and God. So let us take time to read together our church covenant before we move into our communion, or as we move into our communion. Let's read. Having been, as we trust, brought by divine grace to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to give ourselves wholly to him, we are now solemnly and joyfully covered with each other to walk together in him with brotherly love to his glory as our common Lord. We do therefore in his strength engage that we will exercise the Christian care and watchfulness over each other and faithfully warn, exhort, and admonish each other as occasion may require, that we will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but will uphold the public worship of God and the ordinances of his house, that we will not omit closet and family religion at home, nor neglect the great duty of religiously training our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and the enjoyment of heaven, that as we are the light of the world and salt of the earth, we will seek divine aid to enable us to deny ungodliness and every worldly lust, and to walk circumspectly in the world that we may win the souls of men, that we will cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the support of the poor, and to spread the gospel over the earth, that we will, in all conditions, even till death, strive to live to the glory of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. you come to this table, we come to remember God's love. We come to remember how much he loves, how much he cares for us, that Jesus came, died for our sins and rose from the grave. When Jesus assembled with the disciples in the upper room, he assembled with them and said, "This do in remembrance of me." He took the bread and blessed it. He took the fruit of the vine and blessed it. And he said that they were coming together, that he would not do this again until they did it anew in his kingdom. Yes, he's told us that this is what we ought to do, what we ought to do. This is an ordinance of the church. So we prepare now to bless these elements, just as Jesus blessed the elements before he distributed them to the disciples. Let's pray and bless the elements that you have there in your home, that you have where you are, and the elements here, that God might get the glory. If you've been baptized, please participate with us. Let us pray. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. God, we come before you humble on this day. We come with hearts full of gratitude for you loving us so much and preparing the way for us, that we can be more of what you would have us be, and we can do the work you called us to do. As we come to this table, we ask that you would bless it as nobody can. You bless the elements of all that everyone has, everyone who's listening, everyone who's participating. Bless them at home and bless them at work, wherever they are. Change the elements from a carnal use to a spiritual use, that as by partaking of these elements, we can be strengthened spiritually, mentally, and in our relationship with you, to be more what you call us to be. Bless these elements. Strengthen them, God. Bless each one of us. And if there's anyone who's been baptized that feel they cannot participate, that they feel unworthy, we ask that you would change that in their minds right now. Create within us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Bless them and bless us to be the blessing you call us to be. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As they assembled in the upper room, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat all of it." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Likewise, she took the cup and said, "This is my blood, shed for the remission of sin. Take, drink, all of it." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. When they had partake in the bread and the fruit of the vine, the Bible says they went out into the garden. They sang a hymn. Even as you sing and rejoice in your hearts, even as the words of Zion and the songs of Zion ring in your hearts, let's remember to know that God has prepared us to do the work you've called us to do. And it is a time for action. It's a year of action to be obedient to God and his will. If you haven't given, now you get an opportunity to give through Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Thank you so much for being obedient and paying your tithes and giving the offering to the Lord. And if you're not able to go on Givelify, you can literally bring or send your offering, your tithes and offering, to First African Baptist Church, 23 Montgomery Street, Savannah, Georgia, 31401. Thank you so much for coming and making a decision to worship with us on this Communion Sunday, first Sunday in March, 2021. And we say, to God be the glory. Let us receive the benediction. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people of God say, Amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.